Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast. I'm Pat Iyer, the host of this show, which I started in September 2016. We now have listeners in more than 105 countries, and we are delighted that you are listening to this episode. Listen to our show on the platform of your choice. And a special request for you to go to podcast.legalnursebusiness.com, where you'll see a red button on the homepage, which you can use to leave a comment or a suggestion for a show or a compliment. Coming up next in this series of courses that I'm teaching is a program called Defense Medical Examinations Made Easy, a course for legal nurse consultants and RNs. I'm co-developing it with my colleague, Sylvia Anenyi. We co-authored the book on defense medical examinations for LNCs, which came out in early 2024. You can join this course to get a comprehensive bit of knowledge and training on being able to observe defense medical examinations, document them, and run your business, either as a subcontractor or a business owner providing this service to attorneys. It begins on April 2, 2024, and you can sign up at the link below this video, which is lnc.tips/DMEC, standing for Defense Medical Examination Course. I'd love to have you in this live interactive program and look forward to meeting you in person. Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast. I'm Pat Iyer, and today we're going to be focusing on a vital service that many attorneys request. They know the value of having nurses involved in providing this service, and they look for people who can support their clients when they are undergoing a defense medical examination. My guest today is Sylvia Anenyi, who has built a large business providing nurses who serve as observers at defense medical examinations. Sylvia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Pat, for welcoming me for that warm welcome. It's lovely to see you again.
Thank you. Sylvia and I have been collaborating on a book that we published this year on defense medical examinations, specifically written for legal nurse consultants. And we are collaborating on a course that is designed to provide some hands-on experience and some interactive exercises to learn more about the role of the nurse at the exam. So be sure to look for the link at the end of this podcast. And you'll also see it right below this video of lnc.tips/DMEC, standing for Defense Medical Examination Course. We wanted to focus in this podcast on something that's going to make or break you when it comes to being an observer at a defense medical examination, and that is the marketing and the finance aspects of being an observer at an exam. When we lay the foundation for marketing, and the first question I have to ask you, Sylvia, is what do LNCs need to know about the attorneys that the LNC will be involved with in this role?
The things LNCs need to know before they involve themselves with any attorney, the first and foremost piece of information that they have to know is they have to know what kind of attorney they're dealing with. When I mean what kind of attorney, I mean, is this an attorney that has a practice on his own? Is this an attorney that has a partnership practice? Or is it a big corporation of 20 attorneys or more? For the literal attorney, the one, you have to be more meticulous. You have to lean towards the size of being more meticulous and more attentive to what the attorney wants. Because this attorney has the case, but he has all the time in the world to go through that case with a fine-tooth comb and check every little detail. Some of these attorneys, for example, the smaller setups, will ask to be on the phone when you are prepping the client. They want to be on the phone on a three-way call while you're talking to the client. If there's a situation of an interpreter, they will set it up to where you can be on the phone, they can be on the phone, the client can be on the phone, and the interpreter can be on the phone as well. Yes, with the attorney, the smaller attorney, what you're going to come across is they're going to be very meticulous. They're going to ask questions about who you are. They're going to ask questions about how many DMEs you have under your belt. They're going to ask questions about what your longevity is. You know, how many DMEs have you done? And they're going to ask you other attorneys that you have done DMEs for. What do they think? None. Some will even ask for information about those attorneys so they can call those attorneys. Some will give you instructions of exactly what they want you to prep the client on. You will tell them whatever, as an LNC, we usually prep the clients on, but they will tell you, I don't want you to ask those questions. I want you to center your prepping based on this list that I'm giving you here, and I want to be on the phone. Now that's the little attorney. The ones where it's a partnership, they will ask the same questions as the little attorney, but they may be a little bit easier. You may get pushbacks. You explain to the first attorney, this is what we do in a DME. This is how we process it. This is how we go through everything. And then the second attorney suddenly chimes in and says, yes, I understand that. That's how it goes in these DMEs, but I don't like that. I think the personality of my client doesn't suit that line of questioning. Can you go with this line of questioning? You have to be ready to adapt on short notice. Then, thirdly, you now get the 20 attorneys, 50 attorneys law firm. They send you cases like crazy, 50 to 100 cases a month. They don't ask for anything. They only will ask you about the price. You and the attorney will only haggle on the price, nothing else. They just want to know how much are you going to charge for each DME, what your policies and procedures are on cancellations, what your policies and procedures are if mileage is involved, because it's either too far in the state or it's over 100 miles. And that's the end of it. And then they start sending you cases, and they don't question cases when they send them to you. The only time in those cases where you will hear from the attorney is when the cases are a big case. You know, if there's a lot of money involved. Most of the time in the big law firms, you're not going to hear from the attorney. You're going to hear from the paralegals. If you hear from the attorney from the big law firms, it's a big case. Hope that answers your question.
It does. And I just started thinking 50 to 100 cases a month. Wow. How do you, as a business owner, manage that volume? What are your suggestions for how to respond if a law firm says, oh, I could send you 100 DMEs a month? How do you answer that?
What I have done in the past is, so far, I've been able to handle 100 cases a month, but the way I have been able to do it is only one way. I have, instead of having my email just on my computer, I've had my email on my phone. You now have the situation of you have to constantly look at your phone to see if cases came in. If cases came in, you have to start contacting nurses and asking them while you're outside, can you do this case? Can you do that case? If you can't, you know anybody else who can do the case if you don't have anybody. And then in some case scenarios, I have to go to the LNC exchange. I'm a member of the LNC exchange. And when I can't find anybody, I put it on the LNC exchange group, which is a fantastic group because they're very professional and they give us a forum on which to ask questions and ask for help and ask for subcontractors, both in terms of experts and also DME observers. So now, finally, in terms of the 100, if it's more than 100, which in my case is getting close to that point with me now, at that point, what I would advise you is to have virtual assistants. Invest in a virtual assistant to help with some of the clerical things that you need done. And then all you do is just supervise what the virtual assistants are doing. And then you should be okay. You should be okay until you get to about 200 or more. And then unfortunately, you're going to have to start hiring people to do the job. Hope that answers the question.
Oh, it does. And I'm sure that it opens the eyes of our listener who is thinking about the volume and managing the volume. I will add one cautionary note to this, which is that if you have a law firm that says we can give you 50 DMEs a month or 100, it can be very tempting to sit back and say, well, then I don't have to do any more marketing because all of my work is coming in from this firm. And that's the problem. All of your work is coming in from that firm, which in my experience is a recipe for disaster in the case that the law firm says, you know what? I found somebody else to handle this. We don't need your work anymore. We don't need your nurses. Goodbye. And then you have no business. You have to start again from scratch. So that's a little cautionary note from hard experience that I often share on my podcasts. Here are the things that I have learned so that you don't have to learn them the hard way. Let's move, Sylvia, to, we talked about the size of the practice and the type of personality or attention to detail that we might expect with somebody who is a smaller firm versus in a larger firm. When we talk about the marketing strategies, how are we best able to attract the attorneys who have a need for legal nurse consultants or registered nurses to serve as observers at DMEs?
The best marketing strategy, I kind of want to add to the cautionary information Please. That you gave, because it leads me right into the marketing situation. Mm-hmm. Marketing is an ongoing process. You do not market to big law firms, get their business, and then you sit and wait. Because as you mentioned, you are working with this law firm. You might work with them for 5 years or 6 years, but the whole time you're working with them, they're trying to think of ways of how they can save the money that they're paying you, which is what a lot of law firms do. And once they figure out a way, some of them will hire their own in-house nurse observers and pay them, and automatically you lose the business after that. That's happened. So when you're marketing, you have to market to the little guy, to the partnership, the ones where there are partnerships, and big law firms. And if you're marketing to big law firms, you have to have more than one big law firm. In other words, have three or four big law firms that are sending you work. So if one of the law firms drops you, it doesn't affect your business. In terms of marketing, the things that I have done are usually going to networking events. In California, we have an organization called CALA, Consumer Education Plain for Plaintiff Consumer Associate Plaintiff Attorneys Association. And this group of attorneys are just attorneys from California, and they have over 5,000 attorneys in that association. So in California, that would be who you would market to. That would be the best way to get your foot in the door with most of the attorneys because they attend the events this association does. What you would do is sponsor their events. When they have little events, depending on how much money you have to spare their big events, their small events, they have governor's balls, they have governor's meetings. Those are where you'll pay between $2,000 and $5,000 for you to be the only sponsor. Then there are smaller events where they're talking on different topics that are interesting to lawyers. $700, $500, that's all you need to sponsor. You need to go by your budget, but you get your name out there because when you go to their office, they will let you set up a table and they will make sure that these attorneys come to those tables and talk to you and address any issues or if they have any questions regarding what defense medical exams do, they will direct the attorneys to you. Now, in the governor's meeting, which I have done three times already, you get to sell yourself in 6 minutes to the attorneys. They will let you address a group of 200 attorneys that are sitting there that are part of the governor's board of directors. And in 6 minutes, you have to indicate what you can do for the association and why they should choose you. That's in California. Then there are other, exhibition events. The most important ones, you should go if you don't have that much money. Start with the little ones. Start with the legal associations or law associations. Here we have Los Angeles Law Association, Beverly Hills Law Association, Santa Monica Law Association. You start with those because those are smaller. And they're not as expensive. And then when you graduate, where you get more money, then you go to the other people. Then another that area of marketing that has helped me now, which I'm finally using, you need to dive into social media. You need to dive into Twitter. You need to dive into Instagram. You need to dive into Facebook. If it means hiring a social manager, which I have done, to keep your accounts up to date every day. So you are in their face. You're right there every day. You're there either on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, or LinkedIn. You have to keep everything updated. You have to write blogs. You have to have groups where you constantly have interactions with people and you discuss issues regarding defense medical exam. That way, you're out in the front and center of whatever is going on in your city. And by the time you show these attorneys everything you have to offer, you eventually, if you're consistent and you're good at dealing with people and how to hi handle people, whether they're difficult or easy, you eventually will become the gold standard in that city. As long as you're not one of those people that gets offended. when people say things that you might not have expected them to say. I hope that answers the question.
I think that nurses encounter patients frequently who say things that are what they don't expect them to say.
Yes.
What have you seen does not work for marketing to attorneys?
What does not work for marketing attorneys, from my experience over 14 years of doing defense medical exams? I can't vouch for expert witness work, but I can vouch for defense medical exams. Calling the attorneys cold turkey from your house, having a list, calling them does not work. Emailing them on sending them an email blast does not work. Email works, but you have to personalize it. You have to, with each attorney, you need to research which attorney you're trying to market to, get a little bit of background information on those attorneys and the kind of work that they do, and then feed into that motto that law firm has, then they will hire you. But just sending an email blast with a generic, message, everybody will hit delete. That's what has happened in my experience. Mm-hmm. Those ones don't work at all. And also what doesn't work, which has happened to me recently, for confidentiality reasons and marketing reasons, I won't mention the law firm. Showing at the law firms cold turkey and trying to see if you could talk to someone and explain to them whatever you have to offer doesn't work either. What I discovered, this was a law firm I'm working on getting into my company. They have between 50 and 100 attorneys. I found out when I went there that you can't even enter the office unless you have an appointment. So you have to email the marketer. They have a policy. You have to email the marketer. They okay it. They send it to the powers that be. And they would say, yes, let's talk to her. And then they'll call you back and give you an appointment. And when you have that appointment, then you can come and present whatever you have to have. Otherwise, you won't even be let in.
Well, that's good to know that it doesn't make sense to knock on doors. I know how I react when somebody calls me and interrupts me with what I'm doing, mm-hmm. or tries to get into my office and make a cold call. That has happened to me, and I have reacted negatively to yes. those experiences. We should put ourselves in the position of somebody doing that to us and think about how it might feel if we were doing it to somebody else. I also wanted to ask you, Sylvia, about charging for the service. I know that some LNCs charge on an hourly basis and some charge on a flat fee. What are some of the factors that we should be thinking about when making a decision on our fees?
Making a decision on the fees of what you're supposed to charge, first of all, like you mentioned, it's a multifaceted situation, multifaceted, complex situation. A lot of factors go into it. You don't pick a number unilaterally and say, this is what I'm going to charge because I live in New York, or I live in California, or I live in Florida, or I live in Louisiana. The first and foremost thing in terms of charging, you need to research the attorneys in your state or wherever your residence is or you're planning to start your business. You need to do extensive research on what attorneys are paying for DMEs. Then once you get a picture of how much they're charging, if the amount you want to charge is for example, a little bit more than what the attorneys would want in that state, you have to go back to the drawing board and check and reassess your niche and see what extra you can offer that attorney in order to be able to present to him that this is what we charge. In other words, a lot of attorneys, even when you charge a very high amount, they want you to give a breakdown of what they get for that money. And if what you're giving them is commensurate to whatever, you know, they usually get, or it looks like they get a little bit of extra, even though you're charging a little bit more, they will go with you. Some will go with you, which has happened to me, on a test run. They will agree for the amount that you told them, and based on two or three cases that you have done with them, if you did excellently well in those cases, they will accept whatever you know, decide to charge. They will accept that. Some attorneys, again, I won't mention any names. Some attorneys, depending on how good you are, will tell you you don't charge enough. You should increase your rates, but those would come from the large attorneys because they have seen from two or three cases what you're worth. And then they come with a number and say, you know what, I think you're worth this amount of money. I think for my law firm, you should be charging that. And I have two or three clients that like that. Hope that answers the question.
I know that a question that the person listening to this has in their head, which is, how do I find out what other people in my state are charging to attend defense medical exams?
Most of my research on who attorneys, you know, what attorneys charge, I did my research in order to be accurate the old-fashioned way. I called attorneys randomly or called paralegals randomly and asked them what, you know, they charge. And I came across to them like I was doing a, you know, some kind of survey and, you know, some kind of marketing strategy or survey or census to see how many people need this particular. I just, you know, tell them I have a particular service that I'm offering. I am just checking with the attorneys to see how many attorneys would need that service. And that would be the question that I would ask them. And I would get all the information I need from all the attorneys. And then once I get all the information and I've called all the attorneys that I want to call, when I made my list, I called over 40 attorneys from different law firms, small ones, middle ones, large ones. And then I got pretty much a clear picture of what's going on in terms of pricing. And then I tried to connect what services that I had to offer to whatever I noticed was, you know, the middle ground in terms of fees. I came to the middle and said, okay, I understand that you charge this and you charge that. Then I came up with more services. I researched legal nurse consultants and found out what they offer, what they don't offer. And I would add some of the things that I see from the other legal nurse consultants that they don't offer and add it to something that is connected to my niche and offer that as well in order for me to be able to charge more and be able to tell the attorney, yes, I know you think $800 is a lot of money, but look at this, look at what I have to give you. I give you a flat rate. This is just an example. I give you a flat rate, it's $800. But then the lawyer says, well, my God, it's too much money. It's a lot of money for the human. What am I getting for that? Oh, sir, you know, what you're getting for that is I prep your client a day before in whatever language that they have or whatever language that they speak. I discuss with you, I give you feedback on the prep that I've done with your client. I also drive to the doctor's location to do the DME. This $800 includes the patient, you know, being in the waiting room with me, going into the exam, coming out, paying the parking fee, doing whatever we needed to do, and then driving back home, and the client drives back home. You get all this for $800. And when you tell them, they go like, oh. Now, when you put it that way, I understand.
Plus the report, of course.
Plus the report and the audio, all for $800. And then they go, so I really get a link to the audio? Yes. I really get a report? Yes. What kind of report do I get? Verbal or written? It depends on you, whatever you want. Then the lawyer says, oh, okay. Oh, I'll go for that. And they're in.
Let me back up and ask you one more question before I ask you how our listener can find out more about your services. Mm-hmm. You mentioned making phone calls to attorneys and asking about charges. And I wanted to be clear that correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like what you are doing is saying, what are you used to paying for this service?
Yes.
What are the going rates from the perspective of asking the attorney for that information, mm-hmm. as opposed to your competitors? Is right. that what you meant to say?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Because I thought it was important to clarify that in case it was confusing.
Thank you very much.
I know that our listener is going to want to know more about you and the services you offer. I encourage everybody to go to the link of lnc.tips/DMEC for information about the course, which Sylvia and I are teaching online and live in the month of April 2024, and it will be available on demand if you hear this podcast after the live course is over. Sylvia, what's the best way for people to contact you?
The best way for people to contact me is they could call me at my phone, the business phone, which the number is 310-340-9618. They can email me also at sylvia@weberlegalnurse.com. That's an email that comes directly to my phone. Or if they're in a place where they're not signed into the email, but they have a phone or they have an iPad, they can just pull up my website at www.weberlegalnurse.com and hit the contact button and they can send me a message.
And we know from listening to you, Sylvia, that you have your phone with you all the time. Because yes. You might be getting one of those requests for a DME that could be scheduled for next week.
Exactly.
And you need to have your phone with you.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for being part of this show, Sylvia. It's been enlightening. It's given our listeners some of the behind-the-scenes thoughts when it comes to marketing to attorneys, collecting information from attorneys that helps you determine what you want to offer and how much you want to charge for that, and looking at some of the nuances of selling those services, which we covered in this podcast. For you who's been part of this show, be sure to go to podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. We have a little button on our homepage now where you can leave a voicemail a voicemail message that will give me either a question that you would like us to answer in a podcast, or if you want to leave some compliments about the show, we'd be very happy to hear those and share those with our listeners. Go to podcast.legalnursebusiness.com and look for the little bell on the homepage in order to communicate with us. We want to hear from you. Coming up next, coming up next on Legal Nurse Podcast, you'll have an opportunity to hear about marketing related to a specific type of service that legal nurse consultants provide, which is observing patients while they are being examined by a physician, hopefully a neutral physician, but maybe sometimes not so neutral. This is a specialized aspect of legal nurse consulting, and our guest is a master at managing a large volume business providing nurses who will go to physician offices with patients to support them during the exam and then write up what happened. Sylvia Enenye was my podcast guest, and I'm going to ask her a question right now. What do we cover in your podcast, Sylvia?
What we're going to be covering in the podcast today is questions, you know, regarding the type of law firms that are out there that you would market to, how to approach these lawyers, also what LNCs need to know before they approach these lawyers, what marketing strategies we're supposed to apply depending on what type of law firm it is, and also any general tips on invoicing and how to handle payment issues with a lot of, you know, the attorneys that are your clients. That's generally what we're going to be addressing today.
You will find this session fascinating if you have any interest at all in developing an LNC practice, providing observation at defense medical examinations, or if you want to grow your business and do more of these kinds of cases. Coming up next on Legal Nurse Podcast. I'll see you there. Coming up next, you'll have an opportunity to learn about an issue that affects the objectivity of defense medical examinations done to try to determine if a person is truly injured. My guest is Sylvia Enenye, who has great expertise for 14 plus years in being a DME observer, defense medical exam observer, both watching those exams herself as well as sending her subcontractors into those physician offices to record and document what they see. Sylvia, what were some of the topics that we covered in our podcast?
Oh, some of the topics we covered in the podcast were hallmarks or signs of things the doctors do that give an indication that there is a bias. We also covered incentives that doctors have to produce reports that are mainly based on the insurance company's side and to sometimes bend or distort the objectivity or the neutrality of the exam. And then, you know, also we talked about warning signs in physical exams that doctors do that indicate to you that this doctor is biased.
Be sure to come back next week or click on down below for the next podcast in this series on the bias that exists in defense medical examinations. We'll see you then. Thanks for being part of our listening audience for this show. Be sure to go to the link that is right below this video, which is lnc.tips/DMEC. which stands for Defense Medical Examinations Course, and join us for our April 2, 2024 live course. Our course will meet for 5 weeks live every Tuesday for 5 weeks to give you the skills that you need to be able to observe defense medical examinations, gain more business doing them, write more flowing, coherent reports, and gain skill in the process of being part of a business that supplies defense medical examination observers. Go to that link, and I look forward to having you in the course.